Good morning, everyone, and we welcome you today to Central Baptist Church. We trust that God is continuing to do some just great and incredible things in your life. Once again, for those who don't know, I know a lot. I've had a lot of folks that have been viewing online who have asked, and those who have called in as well that ask if we're actually doing on-site services. So. Yes, we are. We certainly are. And we're taking the opportunity to be able to social distance. We actually have folks that are bringing their own chairs, sitting on the lawn outside. We have folks inside our multi-purpose building here that have brought their own chairs that are social distancing in that regard, as well as those over in the sanctuary who are watching by simulcast that are having the opportunity to spread out. There's still lots of room, so as the Lord leads you, if you feel comfortable, we really encourage folks to take that opportunity to join us again. And if not, we understand. That's perfectly okay. We are all at different places, essentially, in our health. So we know that we're praying for you, know that you're a part of us. We're thankful for the watchers and listeners that we have online. Think about I know we have some in Georgia, the Fowlers, Jonathan, Casey, Ryland, and Tate watching from Georgia. I know Miss Sharon from up in Indiana, Sandy down in South Carolina. So we're all coming together under the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this place that we call Central Baptist Church, and by every means that he has the opportunity to give us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, we once again thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. Now, Lord, we realize that this is totally different than so many things that we have known as normal. But, Lord, that has touched every aspect of our lives. So, Father, today, as we come into the quietness and the stillness of your presence, whether it's at your house, whether it's outside, whether it's online, Father, I pray that you will help us to close out the distractions that we might truly indeed hear from you this very day. For Lord, we know that you want to speak to us. We know that you have a message for us. And Lord, we pray that we would just heed your word today, that we might be drawn closer to you. Father, as always, we pray that if there's one who does not know you, that they would heed the conviction of their heart today and surrender their life to you. So Father, bless our time. Bless our energies, bless our fellowship, and bless our worship as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Comes with open arms.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. And that's exactly what Jesus says to each and every one of us, no matter where you are, no matter what is taking place. Jesus says, you come to me just as you are. For some odd reason, there seems to be some philosophical, maybe even people would call it spiritual thing that people tend to believe, and it's a lie from the devil, but that you've got to get this right, straighten up, clean this up, cut that off, do this, do that, or do the other thing before you can come to Jesus. And that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, you come to me just as you are. And he says, we'll work on it together. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Now, if 2020 had a theme, what would it be? I can see people out there now going, what would it be? I know that I was talking to a fellow while I was on vacation, and by the way, I'm appreciative of our very own Dr. Gant for filling in for me while we were on vacation. It was a great couple of weeks to get a little rest and rejuvenation, but I was talking to a fellow down there on vacation, was asking him that particular question, and I said, you know, if 2020 had some sort of a theme, what would it be for you? He said, well, I don't know what the theme might be, but he said, I can tell you what the flag would be. He said, right here would be the flag for 2020. But part of the reason I was asking that question is that along life's way, particularly in the midst of this time of pandemic, there are things that I have seen. And there's one thing that kind of keeps coming to the front for just about everybody that I have spoken with in one way or the other. And today, we want to address that out of the passages of Scripture that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 23. Again, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 23. It says, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. You're with us. You don't leave us. You don't forsake us. And Lord, as we ponder these scriptures today, Father, they were relevant then, they are relevant now, and they are relevant forever. I pray, Lord, that we would truly take heed to what the Word says to us. And Lord, we pray that you will speak into each and every one of our hearts on this subject today of being afraid. So Lord, use this your servant as only you can. And Lord, may you and you alone be exalted. Father, we pray that you would just reach into hearts and lives. Draw the lost to you. Father, draw the wayward to you. Draw the hurting to you today. Comfort and soothe their soul as only you can. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that we see in this particular scripture was an event where the disciples became afraid. Yeah, it's interesting that when we look at it, and I said that everybody that I seem to have had an opportunity to speak with along the way of this pandemic has had some element of fear in their life. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily that they're afraid of the virus, that they're afraid they're going to contract that, and it's going to kill them or something. It's not that, although that is that way with some folks. But you know, yet I've talked to folks, and some of their fear has been, what's going to happen with my job? Some of their fear has been, what's going to happen with my family? I've spent way too much time with them. They know the real me now. Some of the fears have been, where do we go from here? Some of the fear has been that we're not normal anymore. You know, we've heard those things. You've heard the terms, the new normal. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't even know what a new normal is yet, much less an old normal. Now, I often ask this question because I love being honest about it, and I love you being honest about it as well. Where are my people in here who don't like change? You just don't like lots of hands going up. You like things to be ordered. You like them to be precise. You know, we know what's going to happen. We know what's coming. And what happens is when we get to the point where we do not know what's going to happen next, it creates an anxiety within us. And there are a lot of those that have been going through the months of this pandemic, and really it is wearing on your psyche. It is wearing on you emotionally. It is even wearing on you physically because you don't know what tomorrow may hold. You don't know what the job status may be. You're looking at this situation and you're watching the news and you're seeing, well, it doesn't look like there's an end in sight. We better come up with what things look like from here. Now, folks, here's one of the main points I want us to understand today is that this didn't take God by surprise by any shape, form, or fashion. Notice in our story in Matthew chapter 8, it says in verse 23, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Jesus knew that was going to happen. Jesus knew the whole time what the future held. He knew it then, and he knows it now. He knows what the future in your life is. I've said this so many times, and sometimes in a funny and a comical way, but whether it's funny or comical, there's an element of truth that is beyond anything I can imagine. I've always told people, I said, I am invincible until God is finished with me. There is nothing on this earth that's going to take me away from here 1 second before my time, and there's nothing here that's going to keep me 1 second after my time. Usually I say that while we're on a mission trip, you know, when things get a little bit tense and you have to just sit back and say, well, don't know what's going to happen here, but it's in the Lord's hands. And the one thing that I know is that until he's done with me, I am invincible. Now, here's what we need to understand today. God has to get our attention very often in ways that can get our attention. We don't listen really good, do we? If you have children, you've probably used that statement. You don't listen well, do you? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Sometimes God has to take things and just turn our world completely upside down to where the only place that we can look is toward Him. Sometimes He has to take our norm. He has to take us out of what we consider to be our comfort zone and move us over into a place where our reliance has to be on Him 100%, where we cannot do it ourselves. Think about it for a moment. How many times have you done things on automatic pilot as a Christian? You're like, oh, it's no problem. I can handle this. I've done this 1,000 times. I need God for this. Folks, let me make you a promise that when it's come to this particular pandemic and the times that we've been going through, there is absolutely nothing that is normal, and it changes from day to day. One of my big frustrations as your pastor was in the early days, as we would get to the point where we were trying to make plans for what the future would look like, as soon as we would get a plan, literally within an hour or so, there would be some directive that would come down from the government or something that would completely shatter that plan. I mean, you just had to laugh. See, I'm that guy that likes to have a little bit of a plan going as well. Although some people may not think so, I like to kind of know what's coming up. And we haven't been able to do that. And I believe with all my heart that the same thing is happening with you. I keep hearing this from people, but God is shaking us loose from everything that's normal so He can do something completely abnormal in your life to get you where He wants you to be, which is a new place, someplace new, a new place in your walk, a new place in your family, a new place in your job. But the question is, are we going to trust Him? Folks, listen, this thing didn't take God by surprise. Just like in Matthew 8, it says, now when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. Boy, that's a big word. That's a sermon for a different day. But the question is, are you following Jesus? When Jesus says, I'm going to take your life in a different direction, are you going to follow Him? Are you going to sit back and say, no, I like things the way they are? See, we tend to want to sit back and say, I like things the way they are, and we want to stay put where we are. Well, God will never get us where He wants us to be as long as we're staying put. I want to encourage you today, get up and follow Jesus. So then what happens when they did? Jesus didn't warn them that a storm was coming. Jesus didn't say, folks, well, I'll tell you one thing, you're getting ready to go on a crazy ride. He didn't sit back and warn them. He didn't say, well, you guys might want to take the seats in the boat that got the seat belt. He didn't say any of that. He just allowed them to follow Him. And then notice verse 24. It says, and suddenly a great tempest arose. Many times as I've read this, I kind of overlook that part where it says, and suddenly a great tempest arose. When I read through this again this week, one of the things that I thought about was how quickly things changed in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, in our country. In one day's time, we went from what was normal to something completely abnormal. It happened all of a sudden. And suddenly, verse 24, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. Wow. Man, we got a storm that is raging. There is a storm that is raging in our country. There is a storm that is raging that has completely taken everything that we know as normal and turned it upside down. The storm, she's a raging. And notice what it says. It says that the boat was covered with waves. They're crashing in. Now, I've done a little bit of time out on the water, and I've seen some pretty big waves, and I don't know if I would really dig being in a boat like they're talking about. I mean, some of the boats I've been in have been a little bit bigger, but I've seen some of those waves. I've seen how it can toss a boat, and I can imagine what it was like. This boat was full, and these were men who were experienced men on the sea, and it says they're afraid. But notice the latter part of verse 24. Notice what it says. But He, and that's a capital H, so who is He? That's Jesus. But He was asleep. I guess Jesus figured, I've been preaching a long revival. I'm a little tired. Although he was 100% God, he was also 100% man, always had his deity, but he got tired. He got hungry, just like you and I do. So I can imagine that after this revival that he has just preached and teaching with his disciples, he's tired and he's taking a nap. Do you understand what's going on? There are zero worries with Jesus. He's asleep. He's asleep. Verse 25 says, "Then his disciples came to him and awoke him." Once again, there's proof he was asleep. They had to wake Jesus up in the middle of this storm. In the middle of the storm that was battering their boat. One of the other Gospels actually says that the boat began to fill up with water. The waves were crashing over it to where it was going to fill up with water and potentially sink. It says, "Then his disciples came to him," verse 25, "and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.'" Now you get the idea and the picture in this particular gospel of what's being said. And I will guarantee you that you can relate this to your life in some shape, form, or fashion through the midst of this pandemic. Some of you have said, "Lord, I'm in danger of losing my job." Some of you have said, "Lord, I'm in danger of losing my family." Some of you have said, "Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what this virus can do." Some of you have said, "Lord, you know I've got, you know, a predisposition in my health that makes me very susceptible, that if I caught this virus, it could be deadly for me." And you have cried out, "Lord, save me." And there's been some stillness. There's been some quietness along the way. You have felt like, "Lord, are you not listening to me? Lord, do you not care? We're up here dying, and you're here sleeping in the boat." Let me pause right there for just a second. There's a reason why, well, there's a bunch of reasons, but one of the reasons why Jesus was asleep in the boat was because he wasn't worried about it. Jesus didn't have any fear when it came down to that situation. You know why he didn't have any fear? Because his faith overrode his fear. His faith. And a lot of y'all are sitting back. I know people have said this to me before. They're like, "Well, yeah, man, but that's Jesus. And I'm not Jesus." Let me agree with you. You're not, and I'm not. But here's what Jesus is wanting us to know, wanting us to do, wanting us to understand, is simply the fact that he can handle whatever storm is in your life. And he doesn't expect his children to go through life in constant fear. The question is, have you run to the Savior? At least the disciples went to the right place. They went to Jesus and said, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." Have you gone to Jesus? Are you still trying to handle it on your own? Are you still trying to make things right with your job? Are you still trying to, on your own, make things right with your family? Are you still on your own, still in fear because of medical conditions or whatever it may be? Now, folks, let me accent something right here. There is a difference between fear and stupidity. There's a difference between trust and stupidity as well. And I want you to all understand that. Yeah, you have to trust Jesus along the way, but that doesn't mean we go do goofy things. I said a minute ago that nothing's going to take me off of this planet before my time. That doesn't mean that I'm going to step out in front of the church in front of a tractor trailer truck on Highway 68 that's doing 60 miles an hour down through there. That would be stupidity. Okay? So it's not about that, but it's about trusting. Listen, have you gone to Jesus? Have you gone, verse 25, and said, "Lord, save us. We're perishing." I can picture Jesus waking up, like, maybe rubbing his eyes a little bit, like, "Guys, come on." You know, when you cry out to him, what does he see in your life? Notice verse 26. This is what Jesus said to them. They have awakened him from his sleep because they're scared to death. Obviously, Jesus isn't. He's sleeping. Verse 26 says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful?'" That's the first part of it. You know what he's saying? Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? You know, when we begin to talk about things like this, I've shared with folks before as well, and a lot of it is a matter of perspective. You know, I've often asked this question to folks, regardless of what circumstances they've been in. Some of them have been with folks that have had terminal illness, and I would always ask this question. I'd say, what is the worst thing in your mind that could happen? And they sit back, and usually they'll say, well, you know, the worst thing that could happen is I could die. And I said, now you're a believer, right? You're a Christian, yes? I said, so let me get this straight. The absolute worst thing that can happen in the midst of your condition of fighting terminal cancer is you could be cured of the cancer. The absolute worst thing is that you could see Jesus. You could go to the place where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more suffering, where there's no more tears. The place that every born-again believer should be looking forward to. That's the worst thing that could happen. And 100% of the time, they look at me and say, well, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that way. Well, folks, what are we living for? What are we living for here on earth? We should be living for the fact that someday we're going to be in the presence of our Savior, where all those things, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more darkness, where there is joy, where you can sing praises to His name, where you can see loved ones that have gone on before Him. And Jesus asked the disciples the same question that He's asking you today in verse 26. Why are you fearful? But the second half of what He says kind of puts the explanation point to the end of it. He said, verse 26, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? You see, folks, fear and faith are polar opposites of one another. If we are in fear of something, then we're not having the faith that the Lord can work our situation out. And I know that a lot of people will sit back and say, well, you just don't understand my situation. You just don't understand. You don't know how bad it is. You don't know what I'm going through. Listen, I may not know what you're going through, but let me tell you what I do know. I do know the God who raised Lazarus from the dead. And most of the people who have that thought are not dead yet. So if God can raise one from the dead, He can work in your situation. Amen? I don't know what's taking place, but I have watched God take the impossible situations and turn them into possible situations in a way that none of us would have ever thought. And I believe with all of my heart that God is wanting to do that in your life and in my life and in the life of the church and in the life of America if we will only get up and follow Him and trust Him by faith and not let fear rule us. Are we letting fear rule us? Because if we are, then it's an indicator that our faith is not where it should be. Our faith should be what we trust wholeheartedly in. When that job that you don't know is going to be there in a couple more weeks, or maybe that job is already played out, how are you viewing it? Are you viewing it in the respect that God's got something bigger and better planned for me, and I want to be very careful to pay attention to what it is that God has? You see, let me tell you what Satan likes to do in that type of situation. Satan likes to sit back and say, well, if you don't have a job, you're not going to be able to make your house payment. If you don't have the job, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be. And all of a sudden, this rush of doom and gloom comes into your life, doesn't it? And it will rule you. It will affect you. I will promise you that everybody that's here, everybody that's on the lawn, everybody in the parking lot, everybody in the sanctuary, and everybody watching from home has been to that particular point in your life where what's happened is you have said, this is hopeless. I don't know what's going to happen from here. God said, I had to bring you to that situation so you'll trust me, so you'll allow me to take over. Where's your faith? Faith, that tricky word, the technical definition of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing in something even when you can't see it. Are you trusting God today? Jesus looked at those guys, and I'm sure that they probably thought, well, we're going to Jesus. We're going to the right place. And when Jesus got up, it was kind of like, come on, man. What's the matter with y'all? What about your faith? Look at verse 26. But then he said to them, why are you fearful? Listen, insert your situation in there today. Insert this pandemic. Insert this your job. Insert your family situation. Insert all those things, whatever it may be. And Jesus says, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then it says what Jesus did in the latter part of verse 26. It says, then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Have you ever experienced a great calm before? Have you ever been in a place where it was just so calm that it was weird? I think it was like the last night before we left the beach coming back from vacation. Maybe it was the night before that. But I heard something outside, so I thought, I'm going to go check this out. You know, we were in bed. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I got up and I walked outside and I looked around, but then something got my attention. And the something that got my attention was the very strange calm. The wind was calm. There were no noises around that are normally around. Yeah, there were still a few people up, but it was eerily quiet. It was strange. Now imagine these men, these disciples have just been in the middle of a storm that they were afraid was going to take their life. And Jesus gets up and he says, that's enough, knock it off. And it says that the sea went. No, a great calm. I just don't think that in the King James they used the word eerie or scary, but it was a calm like that was attention getting. It says, and there was a great calm. Jesus like, shh, 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 shh. Do you think Jesus can do that in your life? Do you think Jesus can do that in your family? Just like that. Boom. It's done. And the disciples that were looking like Shaggy and Scooby holding on to one another, all of a sudden they're like, the boat's still. They might have even been thinking after a few minutes, golly Pete, now we're going to have to row this thing. We don't have no current to help us out. It was eerily calm. But what was their reaction? Their reaction came about in verse 27. It says, so the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? Folks, these are people who traveled with Jesus. These are the men Jesus chose. These are the men who watched him turn the water into wine. These are the men who watched all the great healing miracles that Jesus did, and yet they were still staggered at his power when it came down to this situation. Yeah, they might have even been in the boat and said, well, you know, I've seen him heal leprosy before. I've seen him make the cripple walk and everything, but more having nature obey you is a completely different story. How many times in our lives, in your circumstance, in your situation, have you said, well, you know, I don't know if God can handle this or not. Even the winds and the seas obey him, and he is not having a Malox moment over your issue. He's waiting on you to give it to him. You see, the same Jesus that calmed the wind and the waves in Matthew chapter 8 is the same Jesus that I serve, the same one you serve, the same one who has power, the same one who is your protector, your provider, the one who will see you through, the one who is working in your life right now to get you pointed in the direction He wants you to go. Now, will you allow outside influences to dictate and determine what's going to happen in your life? Are you going to live in fear? Or are you going to live in the fulfillment of the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I don't like being afraid. I don't like having the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I don't like going through life looking over my shoulder, wondering what's going to chase me down, whatever your circumstance may be. And if you want freedom from that today, here's the good news. There is freedom in Jesus. And you heard Lynn just a moment ago sing. What did she sing? Just as I am. That is how Jesus wants you to come to Him. But Lord, I got so much baggage. Jesus says, bring it on. I got it. I can handle your baggage. But Lord, you don't understand how bad this is. Jesus says, yes, I do. Try me. But Lord, this is out of the realm of anything I can understand in my mind. Jesus said, that's where I work best, in the things you don't understand. That's where I can show my power best, in the things that are out of man-made control. And He says, oh, by the way, if you're one of His children today, and you're tuning in, or you're listening, you know what He's saying? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right in the middle of your problem. I'm right in the middle of your circumstance. I'm right in the middle of your issue, and I am working so that it may be for my honor and my glory and your fulfillment. Have you trusted Jesus? Or are you living in fear? It's time to let the fear go. I said, I know. I just heard what people usually tell me. I heard it in my head. When I say it's just time to let go, you know what I usually hear? But you just don't understand. No, I don't. But I can tell you the one who does. You just don't understand where I am in my life. Jesus does. You don't understand what my family said. Jesus does. You don't understand my job. Man, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. Jesus does. And it's all part of His plan. I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd make her way up. And just a moment, we're going to have our time of invitation. And I pose the question to you. And the question that I pose to you is the same question that Jesus posed to His disciples in Matthew 8:26. Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Now, I've got to say this. For the Christian folks who are dealing with the fear through the midst of this pandemic, here's something that you've just gotten you a lesson. The Holy Spirit has just spoken to your heart. The Holy Spirit has said, look, let go and trust me. Will you do that today? But you know, there are going to be those that are maybe on this campus today. There are going to be those that are going to be viewing online from even around the world that may not have begun that relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not about the checklist of ledgers. I say that because I hear it so often from people. And people, if you ask them, what does it take to get to heaven? And so often people say, well, I've done good. I've been a good person. And I feel like I've done more good than I've done bad. That doesn't get you to heaven. And some people sit back and say, well, you know, I've been a good person. I've been to church all my life. Church doesn't get you to heaven. It just helps you on your journey. Some people sit back and say, yo, well, I sang in the choir. That doesn't get you to heaven. I've taught Sunday school. It still doesn't get you to heaven. Listen, man, I have been a preacher. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never begun that personal relationship with Him, when you stand face to face with Him, the words that you will hear will be, depart from me, I never knew you. But today, the Holy Spirit knocks at your heart's door. He's told you whether or not you need Him. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? Listen, if you need Jesus in your life today, I'm just simply going to ask that you bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive my sins. Come into my life and save me. Lord, help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I mean, that's not the magic bullet, but that's you expressing to Jesus that, yes, Lord, I want you to come in. Word says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him. If you ask Jesus sincerely in your heart today to come into your life to save you, then he did. And here's the cool part. There is rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. They're sitting there going, yeah. See, if you're here today and you're a believer, and you've been living in that fear, the Holy Spirit's convicted your heart. He's your teacher. He's been saying for a long time, listen, let go and let me handle it. Will you do that today? Listen, if that's you, just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender all to you. I've trusted you, but Lord, I've been doing things my way for so long. Lord, I'm going to cooperate with you. Father, I know you're moving me to a new place in my life and in my walk. Help me to heed the call. And some of you out there just need to say, Lord, rescue me. Help me. I don't even know what to say, but I need your help. I'm suffering, I'm drowning, and I'm afraid. And Jesus will wrap his loving arms around you. And much like Peter, he will lift you from the depths of the deep if you'll just trust him. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? I'm just going to ask that all of us, no matter where you are, even if you're home watching, if you just bow your head and take these few moments of solitude in the great calm that Jesus provides to speak to him, to do business with him. Listen, if you've made a decision for Christ, if you're watching from home, please notify us. If you're watching at all, please let us know you're out there. Yeah, just make a comment there. Say, hey, look, I'm watching you from Bucktooth Falls, Wisconsin, or wherever. Listen, Pastor David is over there. He's monitoring things right now. If you have questions, go ahead and put them there. He'll answer you. He'll deal with you. We're reaching out to you right now in only the way we can, that the Lord might speak to your heart. What is your need? Spend a few moments with him in solitude in the great calm as Lynn plays, You Do Business with Our Savior.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore
Did you think about that today? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim the light of His glory and grace. That's where I want to be living. How about you? Listen, always know that we're here for you. Always know that you can reach us. We're here during the week, office hours, 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday. If you're watching online and you want to reach out to us, please feel free to do that by way of our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org, or you can respond to the feed that that you're watching right now. God is good, and all the time. I could just about hear folks in the sanctuary and outside. What a blessing that is. Listen, before we go, we do have a couple things just to let you know by way of good news. Today, since we're doing things so different in many, many ways, we have had some folks that have trusted the Lord, that have followed Him in believer's baptism. We've done some baptisms over the past month by way of swimming pools. Isn't that great? Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me?" But today I want to present to you some folks for membership. First of all, the Kruger family. A lot of folks may know them, but it's Patrick, Pamela, William, and Matthew. All of them have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They have followed Him in believers' baptism by immersion, and they request a membership at Central Baptist Church. So do I hear a motion that they be received? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming, say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give them a hand. Also, another blessing to us, blessing to me, and I know will be a blessing to our church. I know a blessing to Mom and some hair pulling along the way, but definitely love Val. Valerie Giles also presents herself today for membership at Central Baptist Church. Valerie has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. Val has followed in believer's baptism last week, taking that step of courage, and just in a little bit of conversation, I know the Holy Spirit is already working on her, already guiding her, and what a blessing Val is. Val is coming today to present herself for membership. Do I hear a motion that she be received? Is there a second? All who rejoice in her coming, say a hearty hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Val, we welcome you, girl. We love you to death. You know, coronavirus, people may think it's hindering the church. It has not hindered God whatsoever. We find ways to continue to serve Him. We find ways to continue to do the Lord's business. And here's the really cool part. There are three more who are awaiting baptism right now. So what a blessing this time has actually been for our church, for our families. And we look forward to having those opportunities to serve together. One final thing that I want you to know, if you're watching online, be sure to pay close attention to this. Next week, we will be having communion here at Central Baptist Church. If you are watching online and if you join us weekly, I want to encourage you to be able to have some elements together, get you some juice, maybe a wafer that you can use that you might be able to participate with us as we gather around the Lord's table for communion. For those who will be here on site, our order finally did come in. We do have the hermetically sealed communion wafer and cup. There's two tabs on that. So when we get to where we talk about the bread, you'll peel one tab back and there'll be a little wafer in there. And then when we talk about the cup, you'll peel the other hermetical seal back to be able to access the elements. That way, if you're here, we will provide those for you next week. If you're watching online or if you're watching at home, please be prepared. We want you to gather around the Lord's table and join us as well. So we're praying that God's going to bless you in a mighty, mighty way. Leadership team will meet today at 4 o'clock p.m. virtually. Is there anything else that I need to mention? I do. I want to mention it for those online as well. Our youth are meeting on campus on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights here in the gym. Plenty of room to social distance and be able to have a little bit of fellowship. And boy, it is great to be able to fellowship as God's people. Amen? All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. My prayer is also going to be the offertory prayer. As always, there's a box here at the door. There are those for the folks sitting outside there on the sidewalk close to the educational building. For those in the sanctuary, you can place your offering in the offering plate up front. And for those of you who are watching online, we encourage you, if you don't have a church home, please support us here that the Lord's word may go out, that we might continue to be able to share God's word not only here but also around the world. You can do that on our website at www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. Please be a part of this ministry, even though you may not have a chance to be with us right now. Okay, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we dismiss today. Father God, you're so good to us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, and that even in the middle of things that are fearful for us, you want to exercise our faith. Lord, what an exercise we're in the middle of right now. Father, I pray that we will trade off our fears for faith today. Lord, I pray that in all that we say and all that we do, we might magnify you, that we might be an example for you no matter where we go. Lord, I know people have looked at me and they say, aren't you afraid? And I said, you know, what do I have to be afraid of? I have Jesus. What a witnessing platform that really is. Lord, I want to thank you for those that are gathered here. Lord, I want to thank you for those that are home that can't be here because of the circumstances with the virus or they're hindered in some other way. Lord, I thank you that we can all come together. Thank you, Lord, for technology. Lord, I pray that you will help us to continue to honor our tithe. Lord, that we would honor you to give back that portion that you've so richly blessed us with, that your work may go forward, that your work may continue on. And not only that, Lord, that you might bless us for our faithfulness in giving back to you. Bless the gift and bless the giver. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.